3, 2. What's up, everybody? Mike Florio from RotoBaller here, doing another fantasy football video. I'm going to continue breaking down backfields that were impacted by the NFL draft. This is part 2. I've already done part 1. You can check it out at RotoBaller.com or RotoBaller's YouTube page. And if you got that fantasy football itch, you're just dying to get into a draft, well then let me take a second to tell you about our friends over at the FFPC, the home of season-long fantasy sports. It's been 11 years since the FFPC filled their first league, and they've grown to be the world's largest dynasty league commissioner. Not a single FFPC league has ever folded, and new startup dynasty leagues are forming right now. Plus, the FFPC also has plenty of great slow draft, live draft, and they have best ball draft starting at just $35. Best of all, you RotoBaller listener, you can get $25 off your first FFPC contest. All you got to do is go to rotoballer.com/FFPC to take advantage of the offer. Don't miss out on the FFPC experience, the home of season-long fantasy football. Can't recommend the FFPC enough. And I can't recommend best ball drafts enough. Best way for you to dive in, get those toes wet, and really start to get ready for your 2020 fantasy football drafts. Now, going to talk about a lot of the backfields that have been impacted by the NFL draft. I spoke about a bunch in part one of the video. If you didn't watch it yet, when you're done watching this one, just click RotoBaller, go over to it, and watch part one. But I want to start with the Green Bay Packers backfield. And to me, the biggest running back loser, or potentially the biggest running back loser, easily the biggest early round player loser, was Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones last year scored 36% of his fantasy points off of touchdowns. He had 19 touchdowns last year. We already expected touchdown regression to come for him. But then they went out and they drafted A.J. Dillon, who is a huge back. A lot of people think that they view him as the next Derrick Henry, and Matt LaFleur is going to try to emulate what he had in Tennessee with Derrick Henry with A.J. Dillon. That could be the case, but even if this year alone, if he comes in and he's a touchdown vulture, because again, you have a big, brawly back like that, when are you going to use him? You're going to use him near the goal line. So if he comes in and he's that goal line vulture for Aaron Jones, that is going to greatly, greatly hurt Aaron Jones' fantasy value. And again, we already expected touchdown regression. Let's say he scores 9 touchdowns. And 9 is a good amount of touchdowns. That would be 10 less than last year. So that right there is 60 fantasy points less. He's got to then make up that 60 fantasy points elsewhere. And I have concerns about that because last year his biggest games came without Jamal Williams and Devontae Adams. Week 5, he scored almost 50 fantasy points. Neither one of those two were active. Then, Jamal Williams last year was heavily involved. He saw 107 carries, 45 targets, and he had 39 catches. Aaron Jones had more work than him last year in those departments, but Jamal Williams was still a big factor who we all know ate into fantasy production. Now we got another running back coming in, one that they used a second round price for. They got a back coming in that it's now 3 guys there. If Jamal Williams goes down, there's someone to step up and be Aaron Jones' complimentary piece. Also, if Dillon is getting the short yards and the goal line touches, Jamal Williams, while I think his workload is definitely going to be reduced, I fear that he is still, you know, on early down situations. Maybe he'll get a carry or two here. He'll get a target or two here. And that's just now 3 backs that can just eat away at the value of Aaron Jones. I really worry that Jones is going to be the primary back in between the 20s, splitting time with Jamal Wynn and the rest split time with. There's a lot of volatility now with Aaron Jones. He is a borderline top 20 RB for me. I have him around RB 19 or 20, and I keep flip-flopping him from 18 to 20, potentially even 21, 22. So to me, he was a first-round pick before the draft. Now I think he's more of a third-round pick. Maybe if he falls to the 4th, then I think you can – then, you know, every man has a price, and that would be a great – a price I'd be willing to pay for Aaron Jones. But Aaron Jones is a big loser from the NFL draft. I do not expect to have a lot of him in my drafts this year. Another backfield that is going to look completely different from last year – This one is the Miami Dolphins. And last year, if you remember, the Dolphins running backs were disgusting. Their leading rusher last year was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Patrick Laird came on. You had Miles Gaskins. You had the all-star Kalen Ballage. Kenyon Drake was a thing for a bit. I could keep going. They had a lot of backs. It was just a revolving door of unproductiveness. But now this year, they improved their O-line. They got Tua. I like their pass catchers and Devin Parker, Preston Williams, Mike Gesicki. And now they have two new running backs as well. They traded for Matt Breida from the 49ers, and I love Matt Breida. Matt Breida in the last two seasons, each of the last two seasons, single one-run ball carrier, fastest in the league both years. What I mean by that is, like, he doesn't have the fastest average speed, but max speed of all ball carriers in 2019, the fastest, Matt Breida. Max speed of all ball carriers in 2018, the max speed, Matt Breida. So you know he's got wheels. Plus, an 86% or higher catch rate in each of the last two seasons as well. The one concern for Breida has been durability. But even with that, it's not like he's missed a ton of time due to injuries. He's just a walking body bag. Like, he'll get hurt, and he'll still be out there. He shows up to games like the dude from SpongeBob, all wrapped up and casted up from head to toe. And then, you know, he goes out and he scores you lots of fantasy points. That's what Matt Breida has done these last 2 years for the 49ers. Then they have Jordan Howard, who was very productive with the Bears, and then early on in the first half of last year was holding Miles Sanders back and being a productive fantasy piece. So I think what we're going to see here is I think we see Jordan Howard get more carries of the two. I think he'll be used on the early downs. I do think Matt Breida will get his fair share of carries as well, and then I think he is their pass-catching back as well. Because of that, I like Breida more. I think the upside is just a lot higher with Breida. I have him as my RB31, but then I have Jordan Howard as my RB37. And again, these are half-point PPR ranks because I think half-point PPR, you're in the middle of standard and PPR, easier to kind of translate to each. But in standard, Jordan Howard would get a big boost. In PPR, I would give Breida a slight bump. My favorite backfield to talk about this year is the Los Angeles Chargers. Austin Eckler is bae, all right? For those who don't know what bae is, that's like he's my Matt crush this year. Like, I'm going to have so much Austin Eckler. He's easily probably the player that I've drafted the most in my early drafts, and I don't foresee that changing. Last year, he was, without Melvin Gordon the first four games, he was the RB2, right neck and neck with Christian McCaffrey. And then the rest of the way, you know, he's played kind of slowed down a bit. He finished the year, though, as the RB4, averaging less than 40 rushing yards per game. So he is an elite pass catcher. I think he's going to be more used on rushing downs as well. And the way that I've been describing how I think the Chargers are going to use their backfield is how the Saints have for years. Austin Eckler is the Alvin Kamara here, and what I mean by that is maybe Harry's going to dominate the passing. They're going to have another back. I think it's going to be Joshua Kelly, who they drafted, who is going to be the Mark Ingram or Latavius Murray there. He's 50% of the carries and seldomly be used in the passing game, maybe catch a pass here and there, a couple of games, something like that. But Austin Eckler is going to dominate passing game usage and be more involved in the running game. Last year, he had 224 touches. So I don't think he's going to have less than that this year with Melvin Gordon gone. Plus, I know that Eckler was uber efficient in the passing game last year, but we can't overlook the fact that Melvin Gordon did eat into his passing game workload too once he came back. Gordon was averaging 15.8 routes per game and 4.6 targets per game. So while I understand Phillip Rivers throws the ball to their running backs more than anyone, he did last year, and it's always been a staple of him, of Phillip Rivers' offense, is dumping off to the running back. Well, I think that is going to take a hit there. I think that hit will be mitigated by the fact that Eckler is going to dominate passing game usage. I don't think he's going to have to share it like he was last year with Melvin Gordon. Plus, I think he's going to get more volume in the passing game, in the running game. So Austin Eckler, for me, is my RB10, and I keep putting it out on Twitter. To me, that pick, because 12 in average, you know, a lot of leagues are 12-team leagues. I would have the first round being 10 running backs, Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas. I would take Lamar in round two, and I wouldn't take any other of the receivers over Austin Eckler. So to me, he's a first-round pick that you can get in the second round, the early second round, but albeit still get him in the second round. Joshua Kelly, for me, is my RB40. Again, I think he is the favorite. They went out and they used a pretty high pick for him. I think he will play that Mark Ingram-type role. But then don't forget they also have Justin Jackson, who I have right now as my RB66, but I do think Kelly and Jackson are going to battle it out for that job this summer. And I think that is a battle that you're going to have to keep an eye on, and it very well could flip-flop. If it looks like Justin Jackson is going to win that job, he would become then around my RB40, while Kelly would slide and be nothing more than just a waiver wire depth option in case one of those other two guys get hurt. And the last reason why I love this backfield, I almost skipped over this, but I got to say it. In the years that Anthony Lynn has been head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers, their running backs are averaging 31.7 opportunities per game. And an opportunity is a carry or a target. That is the fourth most in the NFL. So you're telling me now that with either Justin Herbert or Tyrod Taylor, they're going to suddenly stop using the RBs more? I don't think so. I think we're still going to get plenty of Austin Eckler, plenty of dump-offs to him. Still Bay. Another backfield that I think we have to discuss now is the Pittsburgh Steelers. James Conner was, I mean, the last 2 years, James Conner has been great when he's on the field, when he's healthy, but he seldom has been healthy, right? Like, he missed a lot of time last year, missed time in 2018 as well, and last year when he was out, I mean, we saw the names like Jalen Samuels, Benny Snell Jr., Trey Edmonds, another running back, White. There was just so many running backs, and it wasn't productive at all. It just... If you had any of them, you know what I'm talking about. It was the Steelers' offense as a whole last year was disappointing, but the running backs, especially after James Conner got hurt, was just gross. So they went out and they got Anthony McFarland, who is a running back that I like. I think McFarland was drafted both to be the Conner replacement, because Conner's on a contract year, so I think they let him walk, and then McFarland steps up. But I also think he is the immediate handcuff. I think he's better than Jalen Samuels, who's more of a pass-catching specialist. I think he's better than Benny Snell, who's a plotter. And the rest of them are just guys. So I think McFarland comes in and he has value right away as that James Conner handcuff. I think he will be used, but maybe not enough to get in your lineup. Maybe something like a bye week flex option or something like that. But I have James Conner as my RB28. The upside is obviously a lot higher, especially if Big Ben can stay healthy all year. But the health concerns, I think they are legit. And then Anthony McFarland is my RB40. A couple of stats I think you should know about Anthony McFarland. He ran a 4.44 40, so he's got some wheels. He's also shifty. He was averaging 0.25 missed tackles forced per carry. So that means he would force a missed tackle once every four carries. That ranks pretty highly amongst his class. And then 51% of his yards last season came after contact. So we know he can break a tackle or two, and then he's gone. I like that with Anthony McFarland. Another backfield that will be a little bit impacted by this draft is the Tennessee Titans. They took Darrington Evans, who I think now becomes the handcuff option to Derrick Henry. There's speculation he can be the new Deion Lewis here, but even Deion Lewis the last 2 years hasn't been the best fantasy option. So I like Evans more as a Henry handcuff, and I think he could potentially be a Henry replacement in the long term, because remember, they franchised Henry this year. Maybe they franchise him again next year, and then they let him walk. I'm not sure they want to invest a long-term contract into a back, especially back like Henry, who had over 400 touches last year, most of which came on the ground, not in the passing game. So don't love that for his long-term outlook. And then the Redskins are another backfield that got impacted. They drafted Antonio Gibson. And Antonio Gibson is one of the most interesting prospects in this draft class because he was a wide receiver in college. And then he started to make the switch last year to running back, had around 40 carries in college, was doing the combine workout procedure as a wide receiver, but many were expecting him to get drafted as a running back. And that is what he is now being listed as for the Redskins. I think he will be kind of a hybrid player. I think we'll see him use a little bit out wide, maybe some in the slot, and then out of the backfield as well. But it's a crowded backfield now. They have Darius Geis, they have Bryce Love, Adrian Peterson, Peyton Barber, J.D. McKissick, and Antonio Gibson. So very crowded running back room. Geist to me is the one that I want the most of these guys, but still that's more as an RB3 because we know he can't stay on the field. And then I would put Gibson second. I think Gibson has the most upside because of his size and speed. And if Geist goes down, I think we could see Gibson quickly get a lot of touches. But Bryce Love is another name I think you should circle or highlight. Bryce Love is being forgotten about. And let's remember, they drafted him last year knowing he was going to have to redshirt his whole first NFL season because of injury. That is another there. And then I want to talk about a couple of draft day winners. And they were winners because their team did not draft running backs. The first is Leonard Fournette. He is my RB9. I'm a big fan of Leonard Fournette. They did not trade him, which is a very, very big plus for him because I think this is the optimal scenario for him, a team where they're going to be heavily invested into giving him the ball plenty. We know they're going to run him plenty. And then last year, he had 100 targets. And he may not be the most efficient pass-catching back, but they don't really have a pass-catching back specialist. That's why I think we're going to see a lot of Fournette being used on three downs. And Gardner Minshew loves to just, you know, dump it off. He gets a little bit of pressure. Whoop, where's Fournette? Going to dump it off to him. Plus, they got some wide receivers now, so they got a couple of field stretchers. I like Leonard Fournette a lot, and I think the fact that they didn't add another running back, especially a higher-end one, because we heard they want to trade him, and the fact that they did not trade him all bodes really well for Leonard Fournette. Continue to draft him as an RB1. Another big winner here was Raheem Mostert, and any lead back with Kyle Shanahan is a winner, because they're going to get plenty of production because Shanahan is just, that's what he does. He gets his running backs. He finds ways for them to be productive. But Matt Breida, who I thought was the second best running back in this backfield, Breida is better than Coleman personally. He was traded to the Dolphins, as I spoke about earlier. And then they didn't draft a running back. So now his competition for carries is Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon, who literally has been out the last 2 years due to that torn ACL, Jeff Wilson, who is just a guy, and Kyle Juszczyk, who is going to catch passes out of the backfield but not really run the ball at all. So to me, Raheem Mostert, big-time winner. I have him as my RB25. I am debating moving him up higher. I think his upside is a lot higher. Like, he can be an RB1 this year if he is the lead back all year with Kyle Shanahan. My only pause and cause for concern is the fact that last year, we thought it was going to be Tevin Coleman. And every year with Shanahan, it's just a revolving door back. Someone gets hurt or, you know, they're a little bit unproductive for a couple games and he's just bringing those guys in and just it has rotated. But Mostert is my RB25, Coleman 46, McKinnon is my RB59. McKinnon is actually one that I like as a value because he's going so cheap because everyone has forgotten about him. I mean, why haven't they? Why would they not forget about him? But if he is healthy and he is anywhere close to what he was before the knee injury, remember all the hype he had when he signed there with Shanahan and how Shanahan was, you know, so excited to just create a playbook just for McKinnon? Well, I don't think we're going to get that sort of workload or anything like that, but I think McKinnon can be a useful piece and has some fantasy upside because, I mean, he's basically a late-round flyer at this point. And the last big winner was Chris Carson. And Carson is my RB15. May lower him a little bit depending on how he recovers from his own hip injury. But let's remember, Rashad Penny hasn't been able to stay on the field. His rookie year, he got hurt. Last year, he got hurt. And he suffered a severe knee injury to end his season. Not even expected to be ready to start this season. And then they didn't go out. The Seahawks did not go out knowing that Chris Carson is dealing with a hip injury. And his season ended early last year, and Penny the same, and not expected to be ready to start the year. Well, they did not draft a running back early. They drafted DJ Dallas on day 3. I have him as my RB68 right now. I have Penny as 53. Penny would be higher if I knew he was fully healthy and going to start the season, but the fact that we don't know how he's going to look when he gets back, when he's going to fully be back, to me, it's a little bit risky. There's some safer guys I would take ahead of him. And the thing, too, about DJ Dallas that you need to know, in college, he had never had 120 carries. So I think Chris Carson is safe here as the Seahawks lead back, as their RB1, and I think you could trust him as a high-end RB2, but you're getting a discount on him because let's remember, last year, before he got hurt, this guy was a top 10 running back, and he consistently outperforms where we have him ranked. I don't know why we... And this year, I understand why we're a little bit lower on him because he's dealing with a hip injury, but Chris Carson has continuously been overlooked a bit in his fantasy career. So those are my draft day winners and losers. Went over a bunch of backfields that were impacted by the NFL draft, and I'll continue to put out videos like this. I'm going to do a wide receiver one. I'll have lots and lots of fantasy football content for you all summer long. Don't worry about that. And if you want to check out any of my videos, fantasy baseball, fantasy football, you could do so at rotoballer.com or on the Rotoballer YouTube page. You want to follow me on Twitter and get great information like you just did in this video, you could do so at Michael F. Florio. And as always, I hope you guys enjoyed it, and thank you so much for watching.